Praise God. I want to welcome you all to Blessed Hope again. We thank Pastor Tony for preaching and standing in last Sunday. I heard nothing but wonderful things. Amen. Amen. We thank God for him and for Don for allowing him to preach this past Sunday. Thank you, Don. I was told some time ago, you can't preach without your wife's permission. You can't preach good, I can tell you that. Amen. Praise God. Well, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. We're going to look at a scripture that was suggested by one of our members some time ago. You all know that I did a couple of weeks ago a lot of scriptures on a PowerPoint, and I said to those of you who were here, if there's a scripture that speaks to you, you email it to me and I'll preach it. Well, that's exactly what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at this scripture, and it's a good passage. It's one of the, how would we say, challenging scriptures that we have to study because there's so much misunderstanding concerning the body, concerning God, concerning the indwelling spirit. There's so much made up stuff. And so we're just going to cut right to the chase and talk about my body, I want to make it personal, as God's temple. Our bodies as God's temple. And believe it or not, that's exactly what your body is. Your body is the temple of God. Someone said, well, the spirit don't dwell in an unclean temple. That is a lie. Spirit dwelleth in you, and you ain't clean. And if you say I am, then you know you're not clean because you just lied. Our spirit dwells in an unclean temple. How? By the blood of Jesus. The grace of God makes that possible. Now that Old Testament stuff, yeah, God didn't dwell among the unholy, but yeah, he lives among unholy folk. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And he's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. You say, you mean he's over in this place and in the clubs and all that? He's omnipresent. That's what the Bible says. He's in the casinos. He's omnipresent. He's in Sendai, Japan. He's omnipresent. He's over on the crack house. He's in the crack house. He's omnipresent. He's over in the tavern. He's omnipresent. But there's a difference between him being omnipresent and dwelling. Dwelling has to do with a relationship that is specific to the people of God. He don't dwell in the casino, but he sees what's going on and the broken lives that come out of situation. He's present in all of that. That's why he can hear you when he calls, because he's already there. But he dwells among those whom he has appointed to receive salvation by faith in the redemptive work of his son, Jesus Christ. And that's us. And our bodies, therefore, are his temple, our dwelling place. There's four things we're going to look at today. Freedom demands responsibility. We're going to also talk about the proper use of food. Amen. Some of us need this sermon more than others. Thinking about myself, so don't take it too personal. The issue of sexual sin and our body as God's temple. Freedom demands responsibility. Look at just 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. We're going through verse 20, but I only want to highlight verse 12 in this particular passage. Look at what Paul says from the New Century Version. I am allowed to do what? All things. Say it with me. I'm allowed to do what?
All
things. That's dangerous, ain't it?
Yeah.
But all things are not good for me to do. How many of you have learned that lesson the hard way?
Yeah.
Just because you're free from the law of sin and death and you have this freedom and liberty in Christ, you and I have already learned, and it don't take long, that not everything you might be free to do is good for you to do. I am allowed to do all things, but I will not let anything make me its slave. I want to stop right there. Anything that you can't stop doing and you can't help doing is your master. No matter how much you get caught up into shouting and all of this other stuff, if you've got a situation that you can't overcome, an urge or an appetite that you just don't eat, you done stop fighting against it. You just say, oh, well, I'm just going ahead and go with the flow. That's your master. That's your master. You have become enslaved to that activity. You've become enslaved to that appetite. You have become enslaved to that situation. Now, that don't sound good, being a slave, but that's exactly what we are when we are doing things and we can't help but do them. You're a slave. I always tell people who let people get them angry that the person who angers you is your master. If somebody walks in the room and you just can't stand it, oh, I can't stand them. Well, that's your master. And if you can't handle something, that something is your slave. Now, you're free to eat as much as you want. But why would you make food your master? Why would you want to do something like that? How many of us have already ate as much as we want? Help me, Lord. Continue with 12. Food is for the stomach and the stomach for food. But what will God do? He'll destroy them both. So in other words, we're worshiping an idol that God is going to destroy along with the body. We're eating and eating and eating to fill a body that's not worth nothing. Because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it is appointed once unto man to die. What's going to die? That body. Well, I got to pretty this body up. I got to put some shine on this body's hair, what little hair this body has. I got to brush my teeth and do all this. Now, I'm not telling you to neglect your body. I'm saying don't make your body the object of worship so that you're always accommodating its appetites. Because it has a temporary use. And God's going to give you a new body. You don't need to be taking so much care of this body. And when I say care, I'm talking about pampering, not in terms of taking care of its health needs. Definitely look out for your health. Amen. Look out for your health. I asked the Bible study last week, why do we like sugar more than sugar-free? Yeah. Why is it that we like sugar, something that's loaded with sugar, more than sugar-free? Someone said, because our works are darkness. We love darkness more than light. Our deeds are evil. Because we are pre-programmed to love sin. Y'all not listening today. We're programmed, pre-programmed to love sin. And when are we pre-programmed? At the moment of conception. David says, I was born in sin. I was shaped in iniquity. When you come out, you are pre-programmed to sin. You say, well, Pastor, not, I don't understand. Do you have a child 2 years old or know somebody who does? They know how to say no more than they say yes. The pre-programming is already at work. That's why people call them the terrible twos. Because as soon as they can walk, they don't want you to pick them up. They want to go wherever they want to go. Amen? And they're ready to run all over the place, and you chasing them all through the mall, and they want you. You need to not do this, and you need to not do that. Why? Because that personality is coming out of them. We like sugar more than we like non-sweetener because our bodies are programmed for it. And if we're not careful, it will make us a slave and we'll inherit things like diabetes and all kinds of other diseases that we don't have to get. Now, some stuff is inherited. Some stuff is congenital. You can't help that. I have degenerative arthritis because my grandfather had it, because my mother had it, and I got it. I can't do nothing about that unless God says, well, I'm going to just skip by you. You ain't going to get it, but I got it. Ain't nothing I can do about that. No need to complain about it. It's just the way it is. But I don't have to allow depression or despair to be my boss so that because I have something that I don't like having, oh, well, what's the use? No, no, no. Use what God gave you. Use what God gave you. Food is for the body and the body is for food. And you don't need to know no more than that. You don't need to eat more than you need to eat. You don't need to do more than you need to do in terms of taking care of this body. And some of us have done a great job and some of us have done nothing. And our bodies are telling the story of that nothing part. Amen. Amen. So I want to encourage you to take care of your body, but I don't want you to make your body an idol of worship like the world does. The world worships the body. The beautiful body is an object of worship. That's why that's all you see on television and on the internet. Why? Because that's the object of worship. That's the new pagan idol that's being thrown in our faces, that's being sold to us. Nobody won't want to see anybody all big and husky unless they're on a program called Losing Something. But we don't want them selling nothing for us. You know, you got this show called The Biggest Loser and another show called Heavy. And anytime we want to show somebody overweight, we want to show them losing something because we don't have no other use for them. But then if you're thin and you're beautiful and you're this, hey, can we talk to you? Because the body is an object of worship. Well, God is saying, listen, take care of your body, exercise and do what you need to do. Take care of yourself, get sleep and rest, and make sure you don't throw away the gift that God gave you called your physical body. There's a very important reason for that. I'm going to get into it momentarily. But don't make this an object of worship. If you're not hungry, don't eat. I wish I could do that. If you're not hungry, don't eat. Stay out of the kitchen. Well, how do I do that? TV's in the kitchen. Get the TV out of the kitchen. And it'll take work because you're asking your body to do something your body don't want to do. You say, why is it so hard? Because you're pre-programmed. You've got folk who are hereditary scientists and these folks who work with genes and all of this stuff. I'm talking about biological genes, DNA. There's a gene in there. I call it, you call it gene, I call it gluttony, but you can call it what you want. We just eat too much. We know that at the chili cook-off that's coming up, the fourth Saturday, that Blanche Bradley is going to bring a peach cobbler made from scratch. She has done it every year. I've had the privilege of having one made just for me once. And actually, I did a Bible study on the Holy Spirit based on the peach cobbler. There was a spirit in that peach cobbler. Something in there. And those who are serving have already been served notice. Forgive the alliteration, serving have been served, that you cut the corner off and you put it on a plate and you put aluminum foil on it. Why? Because that's my piece. I will take that piece home at Saturday. On Sunday, after church, I will eat that piece of peach cobbler after I have warmed it up. And throw on a big old scoop of ice cream. The food is for the body. And the body is for food. And the peach cobbler corner piece is for the pastor. Why are you laughing? You the main one trying to steal my cobbler. He's laughing as if he's innocent. Because we're all not given the metabolism of Pastor Lawrence, we have to watch our weight. I've seen Pastor Lawrence pack away, oh my gosh, just a ton of food. And I just look at him and shake my head saying, you have a gift. God has given you a gift called a very, very fast metabolism. I'd be sitting there and we go to the men's retreat and there's pizza. Last one to leave the table is Lawrence. And then he goes out in his bare feet and wins a basketball game. I can't even run. God bless you. I want you to look at verse 18 because there's another issue regarding the body we need to talk about. The issue of sexual sin. This will not be a graphic message because the message is not about sexual sin. It's about the Spirit of God dwelling in the people of God. But we need to understand it in its context. So the sermon is not about sexual sin. The sermon is about understanding what it can do as it relates to the understanding of God's Spirit dwelling in you. Are y'all with me? I want to teach you today on this. We don't talk about it much, especially in the black experience. We deny it, we run from it, we kick it under the rug, but we need to talk about it, and this is why. This is why. And give me my next slide. The divorce rate among Christians is the same as for non-Christians. The church has suffered scandal and humiliation due to sexual sin. Don't get quiet on me now. The advent of the internet has led to an addiction to pornography among many of God's people. And you can play games with your mind if you want to. But the fact of the matter is, it's all real. It's all out there. And the church needs to deal with it as people of God. Not in a salacious, sensationalistic way. Not in a kiss and tell way, as you hear on television with many televangelists putting bedrooms on the pulpit and stuff like all that foolishness. But we need to deal with it the way the scripture deals with it. Because the timing of this message could not be better. And I can get into all kinds of other various statistics from the U.S. Census and things of that nature. But we're not here to discuss that. We're here to look at it in the context of who we are as Christians, who are the walking, living temples of God himself. But we got to deal with it just the same. Amen. Well, how do we address the issue? Well, number one, let me look at a couple of sins among believers. Types of sins among believers. There are ecclesiastical sins, church sins. Acts 5, 1 through 11. You all remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They sold a piece of real estate. They had the proceeds from that sale. They went to the pastors, Peter, of course, and John and James, and they said, here's the money. And Peter said, is this all the money? They said, oh, yeah. And what did they do? They were lying. They only kept a portion of it, or they kept, rather, a portion for themselves and only gave a portion to the Lord. And that particular sin was a capital punishment. They died as a result of that transgression. They cheated the church. And you got a lot of folk who cheat the church with their offerings and their tithes and their what have yous. And they don't give the way God has called them to give. But it ain't even just about money. It's just about service as well. And about talents and sitting out on God and not doing what God called you to do and gifted you to do. And you just sitting out on God because somebody might hurt your feelings or this or that. That's an ecclesiastical sin. You're cheating your church. I ain't doing it because so-and-so might get mad at me. But if you was getting paid on your job, you'd do it. But you're getting paid eternal life. So why isn't that more valuable than that paycheck? Yes, somebody's going to say something bad about you. And if you can't handle that, honey, you got a lot more living you got to do and a whole lot more learning. Somebody in the church ain't going to like you. Especially if you stand up for what is good and what is right, you set limits and things of that nature, and you speak up for yourself, and you're the kind of person who believes in leading and doing things right, oh, you're going to get some enemies. I ain't going to be bothered. But you're bothered in life anyway. Why not be bothered for the one who gave his life for your sins? If Jesus went through all that he went through to bring you into his kingdom, why can't your little feelings be hurt and bothered by somebody who doesn't understand what God is doing in your life? There's nothing wrong with hurt feelings. Do you really expect everybody to like you? Seriously. You must be joking. Do you really expect everybody to like you? Realistically, that's just not possible because of sin. We love ourselves too much. You're going to make somebody jealous. Stop cheating, those of us who do. Ethical sin, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 15. Todd Swan, one of our deacons, did an excellent analysis of this text some years back in which you have a brother defrauding another brother. And they're supposed to have a working arrangement or a financial arrangement, and this brother is basically exploiting the other one for a hookup. Church, don't do that. Everybody should be working in the church who can work. Y'all not listening. Y'all don't like that, do you? Y'all like fluff. When I was teaching over there for this major publisher, number one publisher in the world, that's what they don't like, fluff. They say, give it to me straight. Isn't it funny? The world is telling me, give it to me straight. Don't want no fluff. Well, I'm giving it to you straight. If the world can demand straight, surely the saints can demand straight. You don't cheat your brother. If you promised him that you'd do something, do it. If you made a financial arrangement, fulfill it. If you've got any kind of agreement, make sure you get it done. Don't break your promises ever, but definitely not to somebody who is a child of God. If I'm counting on you, I'm expecting you to show up and be early. And I expect the same thing of myself. You say, well, it's just a little simple thing. Nothing's simple when you promise. Everything is on a high level. Now, that's Jeff Forrest talking. That's not the Bible. Everything's on a high level. If I say I'll see you at 6, I'll be there at 5 minutes till. I'll be there at 5 minutes till. There are three things I can't stand in the human existence, even among the saints of God: late, lazy, and liars. And I don't do either. Or neither. Because there's more than two. I try not to be late unless it's an emergency. And my wife knows me on this. And lying, won't tell you a lie. And you better not lie to me. Because I will check that. Because I don't know what else you're capable of. Because liars are of the devil and can't stand laziness. Don't do lazy. I'm a workaholic. I was once asked, what attracted you to my work? She's a workaholic. She works so hard. That's why I love her. You say, huh? Because that's something that I consider to be virtuous. Because if you're working, you're not getting in trouble. You're not at the hairdresser all day talking about who cheated on who and your man ain't. You work and you at work. You ain't all up in the store spending money you ain't got. You at work. That's a good thing, fellas. Don't defraud your brother. If you say you're going to do something, do it. And it'll help build real relationships. Amen? Just be true. That's all. And then there is lifestyle sins. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Pull me to the next slide. Lifestyle sins. These are sins that we just get ourselves into when we're not prayerful and careful. Amen. The wrong things the sinful self does are clear. Now, your Bible in the King James says the flesh, the deeds of the flesh are these: being sexually unfaithful, not being pure, taking part in sexual sins, worshiping gods, doing witchcraft, hating, making trouble, being jealous, being angry, being selfish, making people angry with each other, sowing seeds of discord, causing divisions among people. You got church folks, saints, who do that. Yes, you do. Feeling envy, being drunk, having wild and wasteful parties and doing other things like these. I warn you now, as I warned you before, those who do these things will not inherit God's kingdom. He speaks of those who are unregenerate. I don't want to even get into that latter part, but let's stay right here. At the very top of the lifestyle sins are sexual sins. Those are the most poisonous. Those are the most deadly. Those are the most damaging. Those are the most destructive. And those are the ones we got to deal with first. If we're going to be an example to our young people, you can't be carousing and doing all these crazy things. You go out of town and you have a wife, bring back your hotel statement and be where she can find you on the phone. Or vice versa. That is a personal rule in my home, that if I go out of town, I will get my hotel statement and I'll put it in the kitchen so my kids and my wife can see it. Because I'm trying to say that everybody's not doing what you hear them doing on TV. There are some people who are really trying to do the right thing. It's hard, but they're trying. We're not saying the occasion is never there. Or people who would say things like this, well, Jeff, that's just you. You're a pastor. You're immune. There's no one who is immune. Even Jesus was in like manner tempted as we were, yet without sin. So no one's immune, my friend. It is the grace of God that keeps us, and nothing but the grace. It isn't Jeff. It isn't me, my Bible study and knowledge of the scripture. It is grace. I speak on behalf of grace, not on behalf of me. Because who knows where I'd be if it was on me. Oh, thank God I don't have to bear the cross by myself. I got to bear it, but not alone. I got help. But if we're going to be an example to our young people, we cannot have these things named among us and then tell them out of another side of our mouth, you shouldn't do this, and what are you doing? How accountable are you to your children and your family? Do you take your kids to the video store with you, or do you go by yourself? Does your wife even know you got a video card? Does she even know when you go? Get quiet, because there's more. And you can't say to me, you can't do this, but I can. That doesn't hold up. Can't look a young person in the face and say, now listen, this is what the Bible says. And you all have no desire to obey the very word that you're trying to convey to somebody else. How shameful is that? And you say, well, why are the young people so messed up? Hey, I got a hint. The parents are messed up. A friend of mine, young man, came to me for counsel and said that this young lady he was dating, the mother told her, if you get pregnant, I'm throwing you out of the house. So, well, you know, I can understand that, and I guess it's her way of warning her daughter not to get caught up in some poor situation. Yeah, but Mr. Forrest, she's living with a man, the mother. She's shacking up, but telling her daughter, don't do this while you watch me do this. And then we're going to go over here and speak in tongues. And I ain't even going to give you that church. And then we're going to go over here and speak in tongues. And you want to know why young people are messed up? Try to put all that together. Try to make that work in your head. Tell me that wouldn't drive you crazy. We've got to be an example. And we got to quit making excuses. Well, how do you deal with sexual sin? Well, here's one way. You do not stand there and rebuke the devil and rebuke, because it's not the devil, it's you. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't you stand and fight and go, I'm going to fight you sexual sin. I'm going to fight you pornography, and you all on the web and you got your mouse clicking in the name of Jesus. Honey, you're already there. You got to run. Now, if you want to fight jealousy, we can fight that. If you want to fight envy, we can fight that. If you want to fight patience, you can kind of work it out and grind out in your heart and mind how to be more loving and compassionate. And there are principles for that. But when it comes to the temptation of sexual sin, you don't stand there and go, in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Really? Really? Because the thing about this sin is, when everybody's gone, it comes back. In church, you can go in the name of Jesus, but when you get home, am I preaching too close to the street? Mama gone out of town. You by yourself. Sexual sin, go, remember me? You rebuked me last week in church. Hey, you there? What's up, Holmes? What's up, my homie? What's up, bro? It come knocking on your door, and you were speaking in tongues and shout hallelujah in the name of Jesus. I am delivered, and sexual sin is going, well, give me a minute. Give me a minute. And when you least expect it, who is it? Sin. What you want? You know what I want. Let me in. Open the door. I ain't opening the door. Too late. You know, I already heard my voice. I got you. You don't stand and fight. Oh, I got the armor of God. Mm-hmm. But see, you got to understand, ain't nobody outside throwing darts at you. You, the one who's wearing the armor, is the one with the problem. That's why sexual sin, see, it ain't the devil going, I'm going to throw this at you. We don't even need, the devil don't even need to be a part of that whole program, because we got enough mess in our conscience to play that game and mess our own selves up. I got the shield of faith, but you got to understand, the hand that holds the shield of faith practices sin. The chest that wears the breastplate of righteousness carries in its heart a desire to cheat on God. My breastplate of righteousness, and your heart is beaten with temptation. And you got all this armor on your way to the web. Clink, 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 carrying your armor. Clink, to clink, to clink, on the way to the internet site. Take your Bible with you. Just go with you. On your way to the club. On your way to that cell phone call. Second life and all this other stuff. That's why you got to run. You got to avoid it. One of the good things about being out of town is being able to find somebody who thinks like you. I was telling one of our deacons here that while I was out of town, this particular company, it's a major multi-billion dollar company, and they were just whining and dining to no end. It was immeasurable amounts of alcohol. And me and one other gentleman would not drink. First of all, I don't drink. But certainly there was no one to say, hey, Jeff, you know, I'm kind of, you know, nobody looking at me. And I noticed there was one other gentleman. And we were looking at each other. And we were making that connection. He's from the Congo, actually, a PhD in economics. And we were both noticing that this is not what we do. It's just not what we do. And when I got up to leave, because at some point after dinner, the wine keeps flowing at these functions. You don't want to be there. I get up. He says, you know what? I think I'm going to get up too. And we just walked and talked about each other's lives and why we don't drink, why we are the way we are. And I learned something. That if you can find somebody that you can latch on to, who can see you through, that will do more for delivering you than all the prayers you can pray. Amen. Just a brother who is saying, watch me not do it. Man, and you could just see them. That gives you just that push. Then the Spirit of God comes in, gives you just another push and say, see, you ain't got to do this. And the Muslim that was there, he didn't drink. Well, you know the saint better not be drinking. No, I will not let a Muslim outlive me. Y'all laughing, but that ain't funny to me. I will not let a Muslim outlive me because I got the Holy Ghost. No. And I'm, oh, let's party. Hey, no, I'm here. I'm all the way over here. Muslim is still a Muslim. Ain't no way in the world. We see this. That's just not the way it's played, is it? You can find somebody who can say, see, we ain't got to do this. And I learned something. When you are approached, when someone says, would you like something to drink? You don't say no thank you, because they'll keep bringing opportunities. You tell them, I don't drink. And you turn down your glass because I made that mistake. And I said, no thank you. No thank you. And I said, I don't drink. Oh, well, we need to turn your glass over. Oh, you needed to hear that. Sin is the same way. I don't do this. Well, and if you don't, no thanks. No, not today. It's going to. He'll keep on coming, thinking you, well, just got to work them down. Just, you know, they're going to look around and see everybody else doing it. They're going to give in. You guys, I don't do it. Got to run. You got to run. How do you run? Yes, fast. Add that to the slide. Very, very fast. First of all, you got to avoid the areas. Think about where you're most susceptible to giving to sin. Stay away from that place. If you tend to commit that sin when you're angry, don't try to get as angry as you normally would, because you know that's going to produce that endocrine biological thing that causes you to go, and I need some relief. And guess what? Sin go, I got you. See, that cortisone starts pumping in there, and that stress, and that tells your body, man, I need to get away. I need an escape. That's why we drink. That's why we smoke. That's why we do all the foolishness, and we eat too much, and we use food as a medication, as a tranquilizer, because we're sad and we're sorry, but we don't pray. We eat, we drink, we do other things. So you got to work those things. You got to manage and think strategically and go, wait a minute, am I about to go there? Oh, whoa. I know what that place leads. I've been there so many times. I can't go there. I can't go there. That's why you got to watch your anger points. Well, you got to watch your triggers. How many of you know the sin that you can't stop doing and what triggers it? What the triggers are. You got to know your triggers, and you got to work the triggers to make sure they don't work you and manage that situation. It might be a lack of sleep. It could be anything. What you're watching on TV, what you're putting on in your earbuds, and the music that's pumping in your head. Avoid areas of temptation. Access the power of God. Actually, we're going to deal with that on next Sunday, Lord willing. Romans chapter 5. Abstain from the practice of sin. Just abstain. Put it away from you. You say, well, what do I have to do to put it away from me? Stop doing it. Well, when will I stop doing it? When you realize how destructive it is. And how it's killing you. Because the wages of sin is still death. Why does the Bible condemn sexual sin? Why can't I have my cake and eat it too? Because you should know that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit who is in you. Yes, he is. He's in your head. You have received the Holy Spirit from God, so you do not belong to yourselves. Let me read that again. You do not belong to yourselves. We do not belong to ourselves because you were bought by God for a price. So honor God with your bodies. Your body belongs to God. It is his temple. He dwells within it. Just like the Shekinah glory of God dwelt in the Old Testament temple, the Holy Ghost is a type of that Shekinah glory, that shining cloud dwelling on the inside of you, letting God's love shine through. And you know what? Sometimes he don't like where he dwells, but he dwells there anyway. But as a Christian, every time you commit sin, understand, God, through his Spirit, lives in you. And that's not good news, is it? But here's good news. He'll give you the power to overcome it. He'll give you the power to overcome it. Let me ask you a question. You all see this slide? That's a sandwich. Those of you who can make it out. If you went to the restaurant and said, I'd like to order me a chicken tuna sandwich, and they gave you this, what would you say? What would you say if you bought your sandwich and said, I like a chicken sandwich, chicken salad, and they said, here you go, right here, and they give it to you on a plate. And would you pay full price for that?
No.
Would you pay for that?
No.
Why? Somebody done already ate it.
Yeah.
So you ask, You ask the person behind the deli counter, why are you giving me this? Well, and the deli counter person says to you, well, you have to understand that the person, when they tried it and they didn't like it, so they gave it back. They just gave it back. And so we're just giving it to you now. Yeah, but since they bought it, don't they own it? No, you see, we just let them just try whatever. They can try anything they want. Some of y'all know exactly where I'm going. Next slide. Would you have this for breakfast? Somebody wearing lipstick. Well, you go to the donut place and you say, hey, give me a donut and a cup of coffee. And they give you this. And say, that'll be $5, please. Would you buy this? You can tell somebody has already taken a bite out of it. They've already used it. You go to the donut place and say, wait a minute, why are you giving me this? Well, you got to understand, the person who owned it before you gave it back. They didn't want it anymore. So we're giving it to you. Imagine that's all there was for sale. What somebody else had already had. Next. Would you buy this car? Look at those tires. Them some bad rims, though. Some nice rims. Would you pay for this? It is for sale. Why would you not buy this car? Because it's a piece of junk. It is a piece of junk because somebody has already been with this car and they've done wrecked it. And after it's been wrecked, they say, hey, how would you like a deal? I'm Sammy Slickster, the car dealer. No money down, no credit, no problem. You don't want it because you want a new car. But this is what sin does to us. Not just sexual sin, sin. Sin does this to us. It uses us. It breaks us down. It takes away the gifts and the abilities that God has given us for His glory. And then it causes them to be used for the world. And before you know it, when sin is done with us, you know what sin does? Sin kicks us to the curb. I don't want you no more. That's what sin does. When sin is done with you, sin does not make long-term commitments. All it does is say, okay, I've used you. I'm done now. You go over there. And they don't even care. And some of us, we've practiced sin and practiced sin. And sin can wreak havoc on a marriage. It'll make your marriage look like this. It'll make your testimony look like this. It'll make your life look like this. But oh, I've got some really good news for you today, church. God loves us. Amen. In as-is condition. Don't care where you've been. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Don't care what you did last night. Don't care who you messed up with and messed around with. Hallelujah. You an addict? Come on. Your life is broken? Come on up here. You done messed up big time? You in the right house. Sin will destroy you. But oh, I'm so glad that God will take junk like me. And He can work with that junk. And He could take that piece of junk, worse than this car my life was. And I was one of those pictures. I was one of those people. I was the broken one who sat in the back of the church and was trying to get the courage to say yes to God, not realizing that it was my own sin that had messed me up. It wasn't God or karma or sowing and reaping and all this paganistic, foolish, superstitious stuff. It was me. And when I heard about the blood of Christ, the Bible teaches that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Get up on your feet.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Everything becomes new. He wipes the slate clean. Mm-hmm. Nothing that you have done can be held against you. Because the blood of Christ has washed away your sin. You don't have a sin that God cannot forgive. Hallelujah. You don't have a sin, a past, an issue, or an addiction that he cannot deliver you from. But you got to want to be delivered. You got to want to be set free. He's not going to simply barge into your life. You've got to come to Jesus for yourself. If you know Jesus, raise your hand like this. Hallelujah. Put your hands down. If you don't know Jesus, raise your hand like this. If you don't know him, lift your hand high so we can see it. In the name of Jesus, whoever you are. And we'll come pray for you right now. Nobody's going to make you do nothing, be uncomfortable, but you need deliverance. Lift your hand so we can pray with you. Sin is what it is. Sin is what it is. It is a destructive weapon that will destroy our lives. That's just the way it is. You can't do nothing about it but give your life to Jesus. I know people who tell, I'm tired of drinking. Give your life to Jesus. Well, I'll get there. See, you ain't tired then. Man, I'm just tired of this mess. I'm tired of going to the boat. Had one brother tell me, I was going to spend my whole paycheck and I got to go home to my wife and kids and tell them, I ain't got nothing. Give your life to Jesus and I'll be all right. No. See, that's not it. See, that's not it. He's crying on my shoulder. What am I going to do? Give your life to Jesus. If you do that, he'll make you brand new. How do I do it, Pastor? What do I say? Where do I go? Raise your hand and it's done. Just like this. Everybody sit. Where are you? Where are you? Lift your hand just like this and say, I'm right here, Pastor. I ain't running no more. I ain't hiding either. I'm right here. Pastor, come grab me. I need some help. I'll come get you myself. I'm not going to send no member. I'll come grab you myself. Lift your hand like this and I'll come over. Come on, Tony. Listen to this ministry. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Think about what you need to do.
I heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the tide. Spread it all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Said one day I heard.
Oh, yes.
The joyful sounds. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the tide. Spread it all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves.
Somebody asked me a question one time and they said, and this is true. They said, Pastor, I had done so much in my life. They said, I don't know if God can forgive me. They had just given their life to Christ. And he said, man, you just don't know the stuff I did. I said, I don't need to know the stuff you did. I said, Jesus, no. And he felt like he couldn't receive Christ because of so much stuff he did. And I just want to tell that person this. If you're alive, a gambler or a cheater, doesn't matter what you did. Jesus saves.
Jesus saves. Oh, you ought to go and grab a friend. You should talk to your neighbor. Tell him that he saves. Tell him Jesus saves. To the utmost, to the Jesus saves. To the utmost,
to the utmost.
Jesus saves.
He will pick you up
and turn you around.
And turn you around.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Keep playing, Pastor Tony. If you want prayer and you want deliverance, come to the altar right now and I'll pray for you. Is there one person who says, I'm tired of this? Okay, let's bring this to the altar right now. Just come up and we'll pray as a family, because that's what we are. We're family. Don't be ashamed. You come up, I'll stand with you. And let the blame be on me. Let the blame be on me. If you want deliverance, come to the altar right now. Come to the altar. Whether you're a member or not, I'm not calling for new members. I'm calling for folk who want to be free. Just want to be free to live for God. If you come to the altar, I'll pray for you right now. Whoever you are, I'll pray for you right now. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Don't be ashamed. Don't let the devil or your flesh shame you out of a blessing. The Spirit of God is moving in this room and he is speaking to your heart. Get up out of your seat and let me pray with you. Whoever you are, let us pray for you. Hallelujah. Who else will come? We'll pray for you. We will pray for you. We will pray for you. We will pray for you. Come on. Who else? You done saw two other people do it. Now it's your turn. Come on. You won't be by yourself now. Come on. Yeah, you won't be by yourself. You won't be by yourself. It takes courage, but you know what? So at some point, you just got to tell the devil he's a liar. I'm going to get mine today. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray and trust. I'm going to get it today. I'm going to work it out. Hallelujah.
He's a deliverer.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Before we go into prayer, come here, Sister Sandy. Hallelujah.
The reason I came up, I felt like the Lord is leading me to come up so that some other people will come up. And I'm not practicing singing, but I know that there are some people who are not living what they should be living, and we all need to be held accountable. And that's why I came up, hoping that somebody else will come up that know that they are practicing sin. Because I'm not practicing sin, but the Lord led me to come up.
Listen, let my board come up. I want my leaders to come up. All my preachers, my deacons to come up. Just come up. Well, Pastor, that ain't, Just come on up. Your pastor is up here already. I want my leaders to come up and say, I'm not afraid to come up and let people know that I need God's help. Thank you, Sandy, for that. Sometimes we just need to see a leader, see a brother with a Bible who can teach. When they come up, then it says, oh, it's okay. I can do it now. It's all right for you to come up and have prayer. You don't have to sit back and go, who go talk about me? It's not even about that. Blessed Hope is not that kind of church. We don't tattle. It's all about the blood of Jesus. I said, it's all about the blood of Jesus. It's all about the blood. It's all about the blood. I'm going to give you a few more seconds to get out of that seat. That's all you need. You've been wanting to get out of that seat. Come on, get up out of that seat and let God bless you. Let God bless you. The minute you stand up is the minute you're beginning to be blessed. You'll feel better the moment you get up. You'll feel better the moment you get up. You'll feel better. The moment you get up, you'll start feeling better. You'll be walking towards here and you'll start feeling better.
Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. You'll start feeling better. As soon as you get up, you'll start feeling all right. Somehow, you don't know what's going on, but you'll feel better.
Jesus saves. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus saves.
And you can stand for somebody else. You might have a brother, like Sandy was saying. You may need to stand for that person who can't stand for themselves. Stand for them. They didn't even come to church today. They feel so bad about how they done messed up. Stand in their place. Stand for them. And we'll pray for them. Be the intercessor for the one who's too weak to call on Jesus for themselves. The Bible says those who are strong bear the burdens of those who are weak. And I want you to know something, church. There comes a time when I'm so weak and so downtrodden, it takes a brother to sometimes help me to stand up. I'll never forget the evening when, and this might sound like a trite situation, but it is a lot of spirituality in it. So just let me share it. I was at the golf range practicing a particular golf club, my driver, and I couldn't hit. And Rodney had pulled up. We hadn't agreed to meet. He was just up there at the same time I was. And he was watching me. And I turned around in frustration and I said to Rodney, I said, I quit. Rodney will tell you this story. And I said, I just won't play with this club. He said, wait a minute. Let's try it again. Let's just try it again. Calm down. Relax. You know how to play. Think. And do what you got to do. And all of a sudden, everything changed. Listen to me. You know how to live this life. Sometimes, though, you get frustrated and you say to yourself, forget it. You need somebody to say, wait a minute. Don't walk away. Don't give up. Let's try it like this. Relax. Remove the frustration from being defeated. See, that's where the devil gets us. We get so down on the defeat, we never think about the fact that God's hand is outstretched saying, and it's all right, I'm here. Glory to God. Take the hand of the person next to you. And this is what I'm going to do. And I want you to do this. Without knowing the person next to you, pray for them. And your job is not to pray something like, well, help them quit doing this because you don't know what they're doing. Your prayer is give them grace to trust you for victory. Is that all right? Hallelujah. Let us pray together. Bow your heads with us. Also, those of you who are being seated, God bless you. Lord, we want to thank you today. We thank you that the Spirit of God dwells within us. And there is nothing we can ever do with these bodies to earn that privilege. But because you have chosen us for salvation, you haven't only chosen to forgive us, you've chosen to live within us. You didn't just pardon our sins, you became our Father. And Lord, we want to act like children. And Father, we don't always do that. Let me just go on the record for Pastor Forrest. We don't always behave like children of the Most High God. But oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Lord, we confess we have not been what we said we should be. We have not always been what you've called us to be. So we come now in the humility of the cross, recognizing we need your grace. Forgive us. Wash us. Cleanse us. Deliver us. Change us. Transform us. We are a work in process, but Lord, we don't want to just be a mess all our lives. We want to grow, and we want to reach higher and higher and higher. Teach us the joys of holiness. When we're in those places where we're by ourselves, Lord, take control and help us to recognize that's the time in which we can be alone with you and not with sin and self. Teach our hearts to fear the word of the Lord. Teach our hearts to love the name of the Lord. And teach us, oh God, to trust in the power of the Lord. For everyone in this room and upstairs and throughout the church building, bless them right now. Help them to be transparent with you and faithful in all they do. And may we, O Lord, ever so strive for the perfecting, of each other in this faith walk. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. God bless you. And God keep you is our prayer.